Mishnah Gimel Perek Bet deals with slightly different circumstances than our previous two Mishnahs and discusses what one should do if one planted a field with one type of crop and decided they wanted to replant it with another type of crop right afterwards. So Mishnah Gimel starts, Haisa Sadehu Zruah Chitim. So one planted a field with wheat, V'nimlach L'zara'a Sorim. And they decided, they changed their mind and decided they wanted to plant barley. Yamtinla Ad Shetaslia. So you have to wait for it to germinate, you have to wait for the wheat to germinate, and then you you plow it, and then you can plant. So the first part of our Mishnah is explaining to us that you have to wait until the plant starts to germinate. According to the Rosh, that's about 3 days from the time of planting. At that state, it is at its most fragile, and therefore plowing the field will definitively destroy all the wheat crop, and therefore you will be able to plant barley without fear of creating a forbidden mixture. The Mishnah continues, Im tzimcha lo yomar. So if it sprouts, if the wheat has already started sprouting, he can't say, Ezra v'akarkach ofach. He can't say that I'm going to plant it and then afterwards I'll turn the soil. Ella hofech v'akarkach zorea. Rather, you have to plow it first and then you can plant. So according to the Rosh, this mission is coming, the second part of the mission is coming to clarify that even if you state publicly that you are going to plant barley instead of wheat, if it starts to poke up out of the ground, you have to plow first and then plant. You can't plant the barley and then plow. Alternatively, according to the Tosos Yom Tov, the part of the mission we just read is coming to give us a different rule, and it's letting us know that you might think that because it's so obvious where the wheat is growing up, right, it's actually really, you know, broken the soil and it's now growing properly, that it would be very easy for the farmer after planting the barley when he plows to make sure he tears up all the wheat, and therefore you would not have a problem of kilayim. So our Mishnah comes to clarify that even in a set of circumstances like that, that's too close to sowing forbidden mixtures, and therefore you have to plow before you plant. So either way, you have to plow before you plant, and irrelevant if you are plowing right away, you still have to wait a couple days until the wheat germinates, so that way you're sure of destroying the crop instead of simply just plowing both the barley seed and the wheat seed up together. The mission now wants to know what kind of plowing a person has to do. So it asks, Kama ye choresh, how much do you have to plow? Ketame harivia. So you have to plow like the furrows of the rain. Abba Shaul Omer, and Abba Shaul says, Kedei shelo yeshayer rova lebeisa'a. Abba Shaul says that you have to plow so that not a quarter kav of the beisa'a remains. According to the Rosh, it was common after the first rain to plow the fields before you planted, and the furrows were separated so that each mound, the bottom of each mound, touched the other mound, each furrow touched the other furrow, and this allowed the rain to drain off and water the field appropriately. And this pattern was created, was known as the furrowing of the rain, or the furrows of the rain. And therefore, our mission is coming to state that the furrows plowed in order to kill the wheat did not have to be greater or more intense or anything like that. You don't have to take additional care to get rid of the wheat than plowing to that degree. Again, because this plowing serves as a clear indication to all that you are intentionally trying to destroy all the wheat and want to plant barley instead. So if an occasional wheat stalk were to pop up, although you would have to get rid of it, it would not be considered planting a forbidden mixture. Abba Shaul disagrees with the Tana Kama, and it's a machlokus between the Rambam and the Rosh about whether Abba Shaul is being more machmir or more mekel. According to the Rambam, Abba Shaul is being more machmir because he's insisting that a large chunk of the field must absolutely be turned over, and that would result in doing more plowing than the original position of the Tana Kama. However, according to the Rosh, Abba Shaul is actually being more makel, more lenient than the original Tana, and that when he talks about Kedei Shelo Yeshayer Rova LeBeiseha, that this is, in fact, would leave less in a base rova unturned. And therefore, Abba Shaul is saying that you don't actually have to do as much plowing as you would in the case of the furrows for rain. So overall, relevant of the slight machlokes in the Mishnah, we see that one has to, if one already planted the field with one type of crop. One absolutely has to plow. Exactly how much is up for a bit of debate, but certainly one has to plow the vast majority of the field before one can plant something else. And one cannot allow, one cannot plant and then plow, both by allowing the, you know, that would further drive the seeds into the soil and destroy the previous crop. So you have to plow and then plant, and there's a little bit of a debate about how much exactly you have to plow for you to be considered safe from planting a prohibited mixture. Mishnah Dalet Perek Bet is a continuation of the theme of Mishnah Gimel. In Mishnah Gimel, there's a discussion of replacing one type of grain crop with another type. The Mishnah Dalet is going to discuss replacing a grain field with a vineyard and vice versa. As you may remember from the introduction, there is a specific prohibition relating to key lime in a vineyard as well as key lime in a field. So that's what our Mishnah is going to deal with. Mishnah Dalet Perek Bet starts, Zrua venimlach lenota lo yomar. So if you had already sown the field and then you decided to plant a vineyard, one cannot say eta ba'akar kach ofach. You can't say that I'll plant and then I'll, you know, plow the soil. Ela hofech ba'akar kach notea. Rather, you have to till it and then plant. This, of course, is very similar to Mishnah Gimel, and again states that irrelevant of the fact that we're dealing with a vineyard, you still have to destroy the one before you start on the other. The Mishnah continues, Netua benimlach lezara. If you'd already planted the vineyard and then decided that you wanted to sow it, lo yomar, you can't say, Ezra ba'akakach asharesh. So you can't say that I will, you know, sow the new crop and then uproot the vineyard. Ella, rather, misharesh v'akakach zorea. You have to uproot it, and then you can plant. However, im ratza gomem ad pachut, sorry, itefach zorea v'akakach misharesh. Alternatively, if he wants, you can basically raise it down to less than a hand's breadth. You can raise down the vineyard. You can cut down the vineyard to less than a pachot mitefach, right? Less than a tefach. And then you can sow, zorei, you can plant your other crop. And then after that, you can uproot everything. This is because once you have cut the vine down that low, it does not regenerate, and therefore, as long as they're less than a hand's breadth high, there is no concern that you will be planting a forbidden mixture.